Now let's turn in our Bibles, please, to the passage that we read a little earlier, Ephesians chapter 5. I've been doing a series of sermons in this passage, and we're looking this afternoon particularly at verse 20, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, where Paul says, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember I'm doing this series of sermons based on Ephesians 5 from 18 to 21. And my purpose in doing this series of sermons is to encourage us as God's people. And I've been making this point that there is a trend that Christians in their lives and churches in their lives generally follow. When you read the New Testament, you come away with this, that there is this trend that happens in the life of a Christian and in the life of the church. And the trend is this, that when a church starts, when a church is born, there's an enormous amount of zeal. There's an enormous amount of energy. And they're sold out for the Lord. They're on fire for the Lord. You find this in Jerusalem. You find this in Ephesus. You find this in Corinth. Because we have these records in the book of Acts. And you find that the church, when it begins, there's this enormous energy, enthusiasm, zeal, and fire for the Lord. But then we are human beings. And we are living in a world that is infected with sin. And we have a very great enemy called the devil. And we have sin that still is in us. And so you find in the life of the Christian or in the life of the church that they begin to lose a lot of that zeal and a lot of that resolve to love and serve the Lord. And so you find, for example, the church in Ephesus. That's a good example because we know so much about the church in Ephesus. And you read about the church in Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. And you come away reading Acts chapter 19, you come away with this impression, this church really was on fire for the Lord because they gave up their idolatry. They used to worship this idol called Artemis, and they gave up their idolatry. And they were into witchcraft. And they gave up all that witchcraft and brought all the material out into the streets and burnt it all. So you come away with the impression that early on in the life of the church in Ephesus, there was fire and there was zeal and there was determination. They were sold out for the Lord. But then as you read the New Testament, and particularly when you come to the last book of the New Testament, Revelation, and the Lord Jesus himself dictates a letter to the church at Ephesus. And he says to the church at Ephesus, yes, you are still doctrinally sound. You've tested those who claim to be apostles and they are not. Your doctrine is sound. But then he says to them, yet I have this against you. You have lost your first love. There is no longer the enthusiasm. There is no longer the zeal. Or if you look at Laodicea, now we don't know much about Laodicea, but we do know by the time that Jesus wrote to the church in Laodicea, in the book of Revelation, he says to the church in Laodicea, you are neither hot nor cold, you are lukewarm. I wish you were either hot or cold, but you are lukewarm. And this is something that happens. We mustn't condemn ourselves for it. We mustn't beat up ourselves for it. It is something that happens. And the Lord knows about it. And so you have this passage in Ephesians 5 where Paul says to the church at Ephesus, he says in verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but, and as I've made this point before, the Greek tense is, be being filled with the Spirit. Have this regular experience where God the Holy Spirit visits you afresh. Be in this habitual way of living your Christian life that you are seeking the Holy Spirit, you are praying for the Holy Spirit, you are asking God for the Holy Spirit, and you're asking Him that He would send the Holy Spirit to you regularly to fill you, to keep you refreshed. In the book of Acts, when the Apostle Peter speaks about visitations of the Holy Spirit, that, by the way, is terminology that's found in the book of Acts, and the phenomenon is found in the book of Acts. When the Apostle Peter speaks about these visitations of the Holy Spirit, he says to his listeners, he says, times of refreshing will come upon you. That's a beautiful promise. He says, if you ask God to send you His Holy Spirit, you beseech Him for it. And you say to Him, Lord, my heart is getting lukewarm. I'm becoming discouraged in my Christian life. I'm finding the Christian life difficult. And I'm finding it a real trial. Will you fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit? And Peter says, times of refreshing will come upon you. So we've been looking at this, the command to be being filled with the Spirit. And I asked the question a few weeks ago when I was looking at verse 18, what are the signs of a church that is regularly being filled with the Holy Spirit? What are the marks of such a church? And I made the point that verses 19 to 21 are the marks. And we've been looking at those marks. We looked at the first one, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And I made the point that there is fellowship. They seek each other out. They have fellowship with each other. They don't isolate themselves. And then we looked at the second half of verse 19, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, that there is this joy in the heart. There is this delight in the heart. And God's people aren't discouraged, but they find themselves lifted up because the Spirit comes to visit. Well, this afternoon I want to look at the third of these marks. There are four of them in 19 to 21. I want to look at the third of them, and that is found in verse 20. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you just look at that verse, isn't that a lovely verse? There's something thrilling about it, you know. Can you imagine walking into a church and you say to yourself, the mark of this church, the character of this church is that they give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, what then happens when the Holy Spirit comes to visit us? What happens to us in our Christian lives when we have these regular visits of the Holy Spirit and He fills us? Well, I want to bring three things from verse 20. I'm not going to be very long because it's very obvious, but I just want to bring three things to you from verse 20. The first thing that happens to us when the Holy Spirit comes afresh upon us and He fills us afresh, the first thing that happens is that we remember that we are a blessed people. We remember that we are a blessed people. I know the Christian life isn't easy. I know that. I know that we face trials and difficulties and there are discouragements. I know that. I've been a Christian well over 35 years now. And I've been in the ministry over 30 years now. And so I may not know a huge amount, but I do know that the Christian life is a life where there are many trials, many distresses, many difficulties. Of course I know that. And we all have our peculiar trials. I'm very conscious of that. So please don't imagine I'm just speaking from having no experience of these things at all. But I do want to make this statement. The blessings that God has given to us in the Christian life are far greater than the trials and the difficulties we have. The blessings that God has granted to us in the Christian life are far greater than the trials and the difficulties of the Christian life. And this is why we need this regular infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because otherwise we begin to lose focus. We begin to forget. We are in a world where there are many difficulties. We're living lives where there are many stresses, many difficulties. I'm very conscious of that. And we begin to find ourselves focusing on the problems, the difficulties, the trials, the distresses. And we begin to forget the blessings that God has given us. And this is the wonderful thing. When the Holy Spirit comes to visit us, the Holy Spirit always comes with gifts and with blessings. He never comes empty-handed. God has never gone anywhere empty-handed. You read the scriptures, you read the Old Testament, and you read about the visitations of God in the Old Testament. You read the New Testament, you read the life of Jesus. And read about what Jesus did when he came. And he didn't go empty-handed. He didn't just come and do nothing. You read the Gospels and you find that wherever Jesus went, he took blessings with him. The Apostle Peter was once summarizing the life of Jesus in the book of Acts. And Peter says about the life of Jesus, he went about doing good. That's the summary of his life. He went about doing good. So God never goes anywhere empty-handed. It is the very nature of God. It is the very character of God that he blesses. God's heart yearns to bless. God desires to bless. God wants to bless. And God looks for every opportunity to bless. And God pours blessings upon his people. That is his very character. This is the nature of God. He is a generous, giving God. And so we as Christians, we have received huge blessings from God. You know, you've only got to think of the fact that you are a Christian. On Wednesday, we had a very somber Bible study. Because we were thinking about judgment. And we were thinking about those who are not believers. And their eternal state. And we were looking at a passage in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. And Jesus says, at the end of the age, the Son of Man will send his angels. And they will gather all the weeds. And they will be burnt. And he said, at the end of the age, when the Son of Man comes, all who are unbelievers will be gathered. And they will be sent into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, that was your eternal destiny until God intervened. You're not headed for such a destiny. You have been saved. The Lord Jesus has saved you from your sin. You were on your way to that eternal destiny. You were on the broad road that leads to destruction. And you were quite happily going on that broad road to destruction. And God, by his Holy Spirit, came to you. And God, by his Holy Spirit, opened your eyes. And God, by his Holy Spirit, showed you your sin and showed you the glory of Christ and gave you faith and gave you repentance and brought you to Christ and united you to Christ in faith and granted you salvation and washed you in the blood of Jesus and robed you in the righteousness of Jesus and made you his beloved child. Now, these are immeasurable blessings. Because he has taken you out of hell and given you a place in heaven. Your eternal destiny is no longer hell, it is heaven. But not only is blessing found in salvation, you look at your Christian life. And you find that God has blessed you. You look at each day. You know, if you've ever visited what we call a developing country, I know some of these terms can be pejorative, but if you visit a country that is poorer than Britain, and you look at the way people live in those countries, and how they struggle daily so that they may have a job. I used to be a pastor in Nairobi, and my members used to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and they would go to a place where they knew that the people were putting up a building, a tower block. And they knew that all you had to do was turn up early at the gate and you were given a day's job. Because the foreman was looking for carpenters and bricklayers and cement mixers and so on. And they never employed anybody. There were no employment contracts. You just turned up with your tools and you said, I'm a carpenter. And he said, right, do a day's carpentry. And somebody else says, I'm a bricklayer. Right, do a day's bricklaying. And at the end of the day, they get paid. But if the man wakes up and he's ill, he's got malaria, he can't go to work, they don't eat that day. There's no employment. If you don't go and work there, somebody else will come and take your place. You don't eat that day. Or you look at the health service that we have. Now, I know it's a fashionable thing to knock the NHS. Believe me, once you've lived abroad, you give thanks to God for the expertise and the care. And simple things like security in this country. You can go out at 9 o'clock at night and take a walk. You couldn't do that in most parts of the world. So you see, God has wonderfully blessed us. And when the Holy Spirit comes, we pray for Him to come. And we have an infilling of the Holy Spirit. We remember that we are a blessed people. That's the first thing. The second thing I want us to see in this text is this. Secondly, we remember where our blessings have come from. We remember where our blessings have come from. Look at what Paul says in verse 20. He says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what he's saying there, actually, can you see the Trinitarian aspect of this passage? He's already mentioned the Holy Spirit in verse 18. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. What happens when you're filled with the Holy Spirit? The other two persons of the Trinity then come to mind. And he says, you give thanks to God the Father through the Lord Jesus. Because all our blessings have come from God the Father. And He is mighty in blessing. Everything that God does, He does in a huge measure. God never does anything in half measures. The blessings that He pours out upon His people are massive. He didn't just save us from our sins. He washed us in the blood of Jesus. He robed us in the righteousness of Jesus. He adopted us into His own family. He's preparing us for heaven. And He's got heaven prepared for us. These are tremendous blessings. Because they've come from our Father. We're no longer aliens and strangers to Him. But we are adopted in His family. And He is our Father. And they have come through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the intermediary. He is our great high priest. He presents our prayers to God the Father. And He takes all the blessings that He secured by His work on the cross. He takes all those blessings and He pours them out upon His church. There is this unending river of blessing coming from God. Now imagine if He had said, all our blessings have come from angels. Well, all right, they've come from angels and that's a wonderful thing. But that sounds really not that great. Because it's only angels. Or our blessings have come from some good men. But no, the source of our blessing is not angels, is not some human beings. It is God Himself. We've been studying Psalm 18 on Sunday mornings, and I was making the point a couple of weeks ago that when God answers prayer, He personally answers prayer. He doesn't delegate. He doesn't say to an angel, I've had a prayer request from Copthorne Chapel. Now you see to it because I'm busy. God doesn't do that. Psalm 18 makes that very clear. God Himself looks at a prayer. And God Himself works out how to answer that prayer. And God Himself puts into motion the answer to that prayer. And God Himself is fully involved in the answer to that prayer. God answers prayer personally. And God blesses personally. We don't believe in human intermediaries or angelic intermediaries. We deal with God. And all our blessings have come from God. And God's heart is filled with love and mercy and grace. God is love, says the Apostle John. So we've seen that when the Holy Spirit comes to visit us and we are filled with the Spirit, we remember in the first place that we are a blessed people. We remember in the second place where our blessings have come from. And then thirdly, what happens is this. You look at the way that this is put. We remember to give thanks always and for everything. That is what he's saying in verse 20. Give thanks always and for everything. It's a comprehensive thing. It isn't occasionally give thanks. It isn't every now and again give thanks. Give thanks always. Why? Because blessings are coming always upon us. God is always blessing us. This is one of the great problems with sin. Sin, in a sense, darkens our minds. We can't see the blessings. We don't appreciate the blessings. But God is always blessing us. Today, you've received millions of blessings from God. This month, you've received millions of blessings from God. Because God is your Father who loves you. And Christ is your Savior. And Christ's heart is filled with love and mercy and compassion towards you. And the Holy Spirit of God is at work in you. And He is transforming you into the image of Christ. And He is making you ready for heaven. So God is always blessing us. And we should always give thanks to God. On Wednesday evenings when we meet for prayer, I've been trying to make this point again and again. Yes, it's good to come in prayer. And yes, it's good to bring a list of things that we pray for. No problem with that. But never forget to give thanks. Let's not just bring lists, but let's begin with thanksgiving. Let's make sure that there is much thanksgiving in our prayer life. So he says, give thanks always. And for everything. Give thanks for everything. Now, that's a remarkable phrase. Because as I've said, Christians face trials. We have difficulties in our lives. We face enormous challenges to our faith. We face times when we really feel very low, very depressed, very discouraged. And here is Paul saying, give thanks for everything. Does this man know what he's talking about? Well, of course, Paul knows about the trials of the Christian life. By the time he wrote this letter, he'd been on his first missionary journey where he'd been stoned by some people in Lystra and they thought he was dead and they'd left him outside the city thinking he was dead. He had suffered persecution for the sake of the gospel. By the time he wrote this letter, he'd been in Philippi where he'd been imprisoned with Silas. He'd been on that long journey to Rome where he had suffered shipwreck and had been in the water day and night and had found many difficulties during that long journey to Rome. It was once he got to Rome and he was in prison in Rome that he wrote this letter. He was in prison in Rome when he wrote this. And in a prison cell in Rome, he writes these words, give thanks always and for everything to God. Because our trials are good for us. Our trials are equipment in the hands of God to prepare us for heaven. And our trials strengthen our faith. And our trials strengthen our prayer life. They take us to God in prayer. And so Paul is insistent on this. And he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, and you have this refreshing infilling of the Holy Spirit, he says, we remember all the blessings that God has given us. We remember where those blessings have come from. And we remember to give thanks always for everything to God the Father through our Lord Jesus. The reason I'm preaching these sermons is I want to encourage you to pray. I want you to pray for the Holy Spirit to come. That's why I'm preaching this. I want to whet your appetite. Why not go home and ask the Lord? And say to the Lord, you've said to me, I'm to be filled with the Spirit. Will you fill me with your Spirit? You know, there's a lovely promise that the Lord Jesus gave his disciples. Well, he gave it to all his people. And this is what Jesus says. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He's saying, you human beings, you're not perfect. You still have sin in you. And you give, even though you still have sin in you, you give good gifts to your children. You love your children. You give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Could it be that we simply have never asked and therefore have never known that refreshing visit of the Holy Spirit to our hearts? Why not ask him? He will come and refresh you and make your heart a thanksgiving heart.